Your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 8. I guess my dad called on the rookies to preach today, myself and Philip, and there's others here today that would be more qualified than me to preach a Father's Day message this morning, but I do appreciate the opportunity, and we do have the Word of God written by the one with all the experience needed to give us what we need on this Father's Day. And John, you know, one thing about a Father's Day message is that you risk losing the ears of a large number of people. You know, because if we had a raise of hands of who is a father today, well, there would be a number. I mean, right away you cut out half the crowd because all the ladies aren't fathers. But all of us have had a father, so. And the fact is, there is going to be some things today I hope will be an encouragement, a challenge to all of us today. But there will be a special direction aimed at the fathers today and aimed right here at the one standing in the pulpit as well. But John chapter 8, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 37. John 8, verse number 37, says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. The first thing I'd like us to see regarding a father is the impact of a father. You know, fathers have a great impact upon their children. You know, we see that in this passage. Notice what it says in verse number 38. He said, I speak that which I have seen with my father. It says, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Verse 41, ye do the deeds of your father. Verse number 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Now here we see the spiritual connection that the Word of God is speaking of. He that is of God is going to do the works of God. There is a spiritual connection with God. He that is of the devil is going to be doing the works of the devil, because there is a connection there, a spiritual connection. Now this morning, as we think of a father with his children, we can see that a father has a great impact. Now in this verse, the first verse that I mentioned under this point, in verse number 38, it says, I speak that which I have seen with my father. Then it says, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Now that word seen there, in some aspects you just refer to that which you see. But it also can emphasize that which you experience in life. In John 3 and verse 36, it says, you know, that he that believeth not the Son shall what? Shall not see life. All right, there is going to be no experience of eternal life if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 6, this word see is used again. 1 John 3 and verse 6. It says, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him." So it says, "He that sinneth hath not seen him." You haven't truly seen Christ if you are living in sin. All right, this continual, when sin is a continual pattern of your life. All right, the Bible says that Christ is going to make an impact upon your life. And so the idea of sin, there's an experience here. There is a spiritual perspective. It says in 3 John chapter 11. 3 John, just go a couple more books there. Verse 11, it says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Now, obviously, we know that we've never physically seen God. All right, but what's the Bible here emphasizing? You have never truly experienced a living relationship with God, is what it's talking about. It doesn't mean that you physically have seen God with your eyes. All right, and so back in John chapter 8, it says, "Ye do that which ye have seen with your father." All right, these people were not accepting Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were not the children of God. They were still impacted by the relationship that they had with their father, who was the devil. You know, the fact is this morning is that none of us in this world can choose who our father is when we're born into this world. But before you die, you will have a choice of who your father will be. And there's one father that you can choose to have, and that is the Father which is in heaven. But in order to receive him, you must receive the one who he has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I just emphasize in these verses to show the impact that a father has. You are going to do, he says, the works of your father. In the last verse in 3 John, it said, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil." The word there for follow is the word for imitate. You know, you think of children, you think of children imitating their father. All right, there is a spiritual impact that fathers have upon their children. The Bible says that fathers are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I liked what one man said I heard, you can't teach your children until you've trained your children. And, you know, really teaching follows training. If you decide, you know, once they're 10 years old, I'm going to start teaching them, well, you've got to train them. You know, and a children think in concrete terms. You know, there's right and there's wrong. And if they don't get that instilled within them at a young age, you know, when they reach that age where they really start thinking, you're going to have a hard time teaching them. So anyways, getting back to this idea of imitation, you know, there's a spiritual impact, but then I'd like us to see the physical impact. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, and I'll give you a chance here to turn there this morning. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. In a verse that I think really can help us to see the impact that a father can have. Spiritually, but yet also physically. And what I mean by physically are the actions of a father. The actions that the children see in their father. Notice what it says in verse number 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now the verse in 3 John 11 said, don't follow that which is evil. Again, it was the word for imitate. And here we have the same word. Be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children. Now, what do children do? They imitate. My father-in-law tells the story of, you know, when he's walking out of the church building I don't know if he thought of himself doing this before or not. Maybe he did, but he would like, he just, I guess, had the habit of you know, he'd walk outside the church building and kind of clear his throat, and he spit off to the side or something. And as he's walking out, and he hears this little clearing of the throat behind him, and somebody's spitting. And he, you know, there's his son, Mark, you know, walking behind him doing the same thing that he did. And, you know, he realized something that day, I think, in being careful in what he did. It was so funny on the family camp out. Little Jonathan, Philip was, Pastor Phil was playing ball with Jonathan. And, you know, Philip would, you know, depending on if he would lift his leg and kind of throw the ball to Jonathan, then Jonathan would try to kind of lift his leg and throw the ball back. And whatever Philip was doing, that's how Jonathan was doing it. And it was really interesting because then at one point, Philip said, no, throw it overhand. And he's, you know, and Jonathan was throwing it underhand. Well, Philip was trying to, was throwing it underhand to Jonathan because he was trying to throw it softly so he could catch it and not, you know, it was harder to catch if it's thrown overhand. And I think Leo might have been standing there, standing by. He's like, well, you need to throw it overhand. And so then Philip throwed it overhand. And guess what Jonathan does? Boom, he starts throwing it overhand. And so, you know, what children imitate, you know, what we do. John Rice in his book talks about an old proverb that says, what you are talks so loud, I can't hear what you say. What you are talks so loud, I can't hear what you say. You know, there's a story told of a man who, it was in the winter time, and there was snow on the ground, and he was walking to the tavern. And he looked behind him, and there was his son, you know, stepping in his footsteps in the snow. And he asked his son, what are you doing? He's like, I'm following you. You know, I think that day that father was awakened to the impact that he was having upon his son. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Children imitate their fathers. You know, sometimes you can look at your children and say, why are they doing that? Why are they saying that? Well, sometimes you just have to step back and you think, you have to look at yourself and what you're doing. You have to look at your, listen to yourself and to what you're saying, because fathers make a great impact upon their children. Children imitate your speech, your attitude, your work ethic, your godliness, your TV habits, your devotional life, your soul winning, your standards, your kindness, your giving, your patience. And we could go on. But fathers, today you make a great impact. You know, maybe today you're a young lady and you're not married. Well, you know what? The person that you marry is going to make a great impact upon your children. And it's important you marry the right one. So there's a spiritual impact. There's a physical impact. Just what you do and the impact that it makes, the imitation that's in children. But there's also a generational impact. And some verses that are familiar, but Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 6, and even on the family campout, Pastor Wilhite talked about the generational impact of Abraham and all these people of faith that proceeded from him. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 6, says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Notice the generational impact of sin and how that sin can affect future generations. You know, every generation will give an account for their own actions. But that sin that we commit can have a profound impact upon future generations. You know, but the great thing about this is the next verse. You know, sin makes a great impact, but righteousness also has a great impact. It says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Notice that. Thousands. You know, God's mercy is abundant. You know, as a parent, none of us are perfect. And how much we need the mercy of God in the raising of our families. And when we love God and put Him first, God displays that mercy in our lives. So there is a generational impact. Think of Seth and Cain. Seth chose to follow God. And you can look in the Old Testament, and any righteous person is an offspring of Seth. Cain, what happened? His generation was destroyed. His children followed in the ways of his sin. Think of Jacob and Esau. You know, they had quite divergent pathway. Think of the impact that who they had. Esau chose the wives of the land. You know, Jacob had his own problems in his wives. But think of Esau, who didn't have any semblance, didn't at the very beginning just chose whoever. You know, young man, the choice that you make of a wife will greatly impact your children and your future generations. There is a generational impact that fathers have. You know, do you understand the impact that your life is making this morning, the impact of a father? And secondly, this morning, I'd like us to see the illustrations of a father in the Bible. You know, the Bible uses a father figure, so to speak, as an illustration to maybe bring out some spiritual truth. And I think what it does is it helps us to see what the normal behavior of a father is. First of all, I'd like us to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And here's some truths under this point that I think that everybody can apply to their lives. But also fathers in particular, it can help you in dealing with your children and the behaviors that would be normal in the life of a father. You know, this world is so messed up, it paints a picture of a father that is a far cry from what the truth is. But 1 Thessalonians 2, and I'd like us to... let's see here. I'm sorry, I'm in 2 Thessalonians. No wonder why it's looking kind of funny. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Notice Paul here, as he says in verse number 11. He says, 1 Thessalonians 2:11, says, "As ye know..." Well, let me begin in verse 10. "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you." Then notice what it says. "As a father doth his children." So notice here we have three aspects of being a father that the Bible purports, paints a picture of as just being normal to what a father would do. And the three words, a father exhorts, he comforts, and he charges his children. All right, first of all, what's the exhortation? Exhortation here is to urge strongly. All right, a father is going to urge his children strongly in a particular direction. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know, Paul does this. He says, verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren." All right, he is exhorting them. He says, "Warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Be patient toward all men." He's exhorting them. He's encouraging them. He's strongly urging them towards a particular action. All right, God wants fathers not just to let children choose in life everything that they want. He is to urge them. He is to exhort them, encourage them towards a particular direction in life. But then it says he comforts them. All right, to comfort is to console, to cheer up. You know, everything about being a father is not bam, 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 bam. All right, there's the aspect of consoling and comforting. You know, children need encouragement. they need to be consoled. You know, a father, you know, he sees his child crying. You know, what does he want? You know, he sees his maybe his young daughter crying. You know, what does he want to do? He wants to alleviate whatever is causing them to cry. All right, and so that's a father, the normal activity of a father would be to comfort them. Now, it may not always happen, but that should be the normal activity. Then thirdly, it says, then he charged every one of them. All right, the idea of charging is not, you know, taking out his credit cards and going out and, you know, doing a bunch of charging here. Okay, but the idea of charging here is actually, it's at the word, the Greek word for martureo, all right, to bear witness. The Bible says, ye shall be witnesses. Okay, but here the idea is to confirm or attest something on the basis of personal knowledge or belief, all right, to bear witness to something. So here's a father. He is bearing witness. He is charging them. He is pointing them in a particular direction because he has borne witness to what the truth is in his own life. All right, he doesn't want his children doing something. He and the Apostle Paul, with these new believers, he was charging them. He was exhorting them to go in a particular direction in life. He knew from experience, you know, what these things caused. You know, and a father that is really concerned about his children is going to know that, you know what, they better not get involved in that because I know what it's going to do. Now, there is a personal experience. It requires being firmly planted in your convictions, all right, because you are fully convinced of the truth. That's why you can charge somebody. You are fully, firmly planted in your convictions, and you are able to, because you are fully convinced of the truth. It's somebody who has fully experienced God. You have a relationship with God, and so you're able to charge your children because you have personally borne witness to the truth. You know, dads today, if we don't have a relationship with God, how are we going to point our children in that direction? We're not going to be able to charge them because we haven't borne witness to the truth ourselves. You know, as dads, if you are constantly battling, you know, the pastor, or you're constantly battling, you're never going to embrace the truth. And you're never going to be able to see that truth embraced in the lives of your children because you will never be able to charge them. Exhort, comfort, charge. We see another thing. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. So we continue to look at how the Bible uses a father to illustrate, and it helps us to give us an idea of what a normal father would do. Proverbs 3 and verse 12. I'll begin in verse number 11. It says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Now notice what it says. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. So the normal activity of a father who delights in his son is going to be to do what? To correct that son. You know, if you just let your children go on in the way that they're going, and you never provide that correction, then you are not being what the Bible says a normal father would be. All right, Proverbs 3 and verse number 12. Even as a father, all right, would correct the son in whom he delighteth. Over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7, it uses the illustration of chastisement. Hebrews 12 and verse number 7, it says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? The normal activity of a father who delights, who loves his son, is going to be to chasten that son because he wants to see him go in a particular direction in life. You know, that takes time. It takes effort. It takes maybe a changing of your schedule, something thrown into your schedule that you weren't planning on. You know, it may mean, you know, looking dumb because you're late, because you have to deal with one of your children. It may mean something else, but we need to be willing to take that time to show our love through chastisement. And then one more I'd like to look at in Jeremiah chapter 3. We're kind of right in the middle maybe of something here in Jeremiah 3 and verse 4. But Jeremiah 3 and verse 4, speaking of Israel with the Lord, "Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth?" I think here, again, it gives us an illustration of what a father does. He's a what? He is a guide to the youth. He gives direction. He gives understanding. He gives appreciation. You know, you think of going on having a tour guide. Right? They're going to give aspects of things that you wouldn't normally understand. He's going to direct you through the process of what you're looking at. And that's what a father does. He is a guide. So we see some personal illustrations of the normal activities of what a father would be. And thirdly, to like us today, is to see the instructions of a father. You know, a father is to be a teacher, but what is he to instruct his children in? Now let's go over, I'd like us to go over to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4. And I'd like us to look at three areas of instructions that a father would give to his children. You know, it says in verse number 1, "Hear ye children the what? The instruction of a father." Right? That's what a father does. He instructs. All right, what are some of the areas? Verse number 7. "Wisdom is the principal thing." So he's giving these instructions. "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding." Now here I see the instruction of a father is in the area of right priorities. This father is instructing his son in the priorities of life that he should have. You know, as we think back at the first point of the impact of a father, you know, we make a great impact by our actions. How are we instructing our children as to the priorities that they should have in life? You know, how do they get that wisdom? From God's word, from the fear of the Lord. Are we giving them the right priorities? It says there in verse 13, "Take fast hold of instruction." He's giving them priorities in life. Secondly, instructions of a father. Let's go to verse 14. I see, first of all, we see priorities. Secondly, the protection. He says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." Here's a father instructing his children in the area of protection, protecting them from the evil influences of the world. You know, as a father, is that part of your instruction to your children? Do you guard the home? You know, here it's pretty clear. He says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. It's not supposed to be about seeing how close you can get to the world, but it's seeing about how protected you can keep your family from it. There's protection. Over in John chapter 13 and verse number 20, just under this area of protection, I think it's important for us to understand that in life, it's not just about what we're letting into our homes or what's in the lives of our children, but where is that coming from that's in the lives of our children? Where is it coming from, what we're allowing into our home? Where is it coming from, what we're choosing to put on. Where is it coming from, what we're choosing to listen to? Notice what Christ said in verse John 13:20. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." You might say, well, how does this have anything to do with this? Well, there's an important point here, is that there's someone behind what you're allowing in your home. It's either God or it's the devil. You know, who's behind it? And, you know, you can think about that TV program and you can say, okay, is God behind this TV program? Or is the devil behind this TV program? You know, the music that I'm listening to, is God behind it? Because somebody is sending it. There is some sort of authority behind what is being sent. And we don't always think about it. We want to look at the little thing. And we want to argue about this little thing. But sometimes we got to step back and say, well, who's the one sending it? And Christ said, if I'm going to send people out, and those that are receiving you, they're receiving me. And if you receive me, you're receiving the Father who sent me. Just like the Jews rejected Christ, and ultimately, who were they rejecting? They were rejecting the one who sent him. And in our homes, everything that we allow in, someone is behind that. And are we protecting our homes? Are we asking the questions? Who is behind it? In verse 23 of chapter 4, as we think of the area of protection, he says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You know, instructions in protecting the hearts of our children. You know, there's so many things that probably myself, parents, that are allowed into children's lives that are what? They're stealing away their hearts. And you know, you allow those things when they're younger, and then those things are cultivated. And by the time they become teenagers, you try pulling that out of their lives. And what happens? There's a huge struggle because it's taken root, because their hearts were not guarded. Protection. But then thirdly, the third area of instruction is in purity. Notice Proverbs chapter 5. He says in verse number 8, speaking of the strange woman, Proverbs 5:8, he says, "Remove," and again, I mean, this could fit under protection as well, "but remove thy way far from her, you know, and come not nigh the door of her house." He says in verse 15, "Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well." He says in verse 17, "Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." In verse 20, "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger?" Here we see the purity. You know, what should be part of the instruction? It ought to be in the area of purity. You know, you think of the world, the impure world in which we live. You know, our homes ought to be places of purity. Amen. You know, they're not going to get it out there. And if we allow it to come into our homes, you know, where are they going to, if we allow it to come into our church, where are they going to get that sense of purity from? Well, that ought to be part of the instruction to our children. But I remind you, you know, the old proverb, you know, I can't even remember it. I got to look it up here. What you are talk so loud, I can't hear what you say. You know, most drunkards don't want their children to become drunkards. But what they are speaks loudly. You know, what is the instruction that you're giving, fathers, to your children today? You know, but even if you're not a father today, you know, Paul wasn't a father, was he? But he was a spiritual father. He says to Timothy, mine own son in the faith. He had a profound impact upon the life of Timothy, who was able to impact many others. He dealt with those that he was ministering to as a what? As a father would. And he saw a great impact made upon their lives. You know, this morning the Word of God, you know, says, and there's much more. I mean, you look up the word father, how many times it's used in the Bible. Boy, it's all over. There's a lot of times it's used. And today the devil wants fathers to be defeated. He wants fathers to give in to the pressures of the godless world in which we live. But God wants them to understand the important role that they play, the vital impact that they can make, and to see the vital truths that they must impart to their children that will make an eternal impact upon their lives and affect future generations for Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the great example that you are. And Lord, how far we fall short this morning of what we ought to be. But yet how richly you have given to us. And Lord, I pray that today in some way, Lord, some truth that has been mentioned would be an encouragement today. Lord, a challenge, a strengthening to homes, Lord, that are represented in this congregation. And Lord, I pray that you would get the victory in our lives this morning. Lord, I pray today for those that do not know you as their Heavenly Father. Lord, that they would realize that it's their sin that's keeping them from having that living relationship with you, but yet that your Son paid the price for that sin on Calvary's cross. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you would just show them the way of salvation. And Lord, may you help us today as fathers to be what you would want us to be. Lord, that great honor and glory would be brought to your name as your word is honored and uplifted in our families. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.